I saw the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I saw. going through, he will never
have spoken, Father, and let his soul, in the name of Jesus, let your healing flow just come across this congregation in the name of Jesus. Just touch them, Lord Jesus, and make them whole. The sickness that's trying to come across their body, in the name of Jesus, bring it down in the name of Jesus. Cast it out, Lord Jesus, they may be whole. For you have spoken, you said that by your stripes we are healed. Father, you said that you are the God that heals us. We, Lord Jesus, we look unto you, for you are the one whom we can always come unto, for your name has power. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are the Savior. You are Jehovah Saves. You are the one whom we can always turn unto, because you hung on a cross and you shed your blood so that our sins can be forgiven. You shed your blood so that by your stripes we can be made whole. We can be healed in the name of Jesus. Your body was broken so our body can be put back together the way you created us, O Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'll touch us up in the balcony, that you'll make them whole in the name of Jesus, that you make us feel your touch, O Lord, by the stripes upon your back, by the hem of your garment, for the healing virtue that flows from you into our bodies back there, Father, in the name of Jesus. Take away all the sickness in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we can come unto you. We can trust in you, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, for loved ones who have gone astray, bring them home. Father, in this Independence Day weekend, even though our government doesn't want to give us independence and freedom any longer, you are the one who said that you have given us freedom. For we can trust in you. For freedom from the devil is all that really matters. When the world systems want to come against us and fight against us, you are the one who sets us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you free us from bondage. You free us from sickness. You free us from all of the sins that come against us in the name of Jesus. And you have power over every dictator that comes against us in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory and praise and honor. We can trust in you. And we can walk free, even as Paul, who was in prison, who was not free on the physical realm, but he was free to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He was the one who said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we can look unto you and we know that we are free, because you are the one who sets us free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory and praise and honor this day. And we give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Shake hands with one another before Brother Phil comes to give us announcements, and then you may be seated.
Good morning, church. Isn't God good? Amen, amen, amen. If you haven't seen it on the big screen before service, if you haven't seen it on Realm, or you haven't heard it or read it in your email or heard it from somebody, I'm here to tell you, next Sunday night, 5:00, everyone is invited. Thank you. Everybody is invited to the gymnasium over here, and we're going to have an ice cream social to celebrate. Pastor Lowell, stand up, please. 30 years of faithful, righteous service, not only to this church, this body of believers, but to the kingdom of God. So I invite you to join with us next Sunday night, 5 p.m., July 9th, in Jim. Everybody understand? Lord bless you.
Let's stand, sing God Bless America. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And it's a joy to welcome you to church this morning. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, Brother Phil, this morning. And what a joy it's been to be here all of these years. And I couldn't have done it without an excellent church staff and our church board and a wonderful congregation. It's good to be family. Would you say amen? And so thank you so much. And it's also a joy to celebrate the victory we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? As some of you know, this has been a very, very strategic week here at First Assembly. This past Thursday evening, we held our Scrabble tournament. Some of you will remember years ago when we had 3 months in a row of Scrabble. Do you remember that? And you'll remember that two out of those three evenings, the Lord honored me to win. Where is Kathy Baumel? She's back there. Kathy Baumel won one of those evenings, but it was, I just have to say, it must have been a spiritual fluke that night for her to win. But I want to thank all of those. And there are Kim and Josh Dickey, and Tammy Shute will be in the second service, my runners up in Scrabble. But we congratulate them. But I'll tell you, they weren't. Yeah, I can tell you they weren't even close. They weren't even close. Yes. Oh, so it's good. It's good to be able to rejoice in the favor of the Lord that rests upon us as we serve Him. Amen. Well, it's been a good week, and thank God for the rain last night. Amen. And today we're going to be looking into Luke chapter 13 in our Bibles as we go to the Word of God together. And I see Doug and Son of a Fowler here. How's baby Jacob? Coming along. He's still a miracle in the hands of the Lord. We've been praying. And Jeff and Molly, I think they might be watching us this morning even. They watch us online. And baby Jacob, as you know, we've been praying that the Lord would continue to strengthen him. And the doctor declared again this last week that he's a miracle. And we thank the Lord. And we're believing God is going to do great things through his life. Would you say amen? And so thank you so much for your prayers. And it's a joy to be able to trust in the Lord, our Savior, who never, ever fails. Amen. Luke chapter 13 this morning, we'll begin reading at verse 10 as we continue our study through the miracles of Jesus. Our title this morning, Straighten Up and Praise God. Straighten Up and Praise God. The scripture says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, All his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This morning we examine another great miracle in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I like to categorize the miracles of Jesus and the Lord's miraculous working in our lives in a few different categories. I think about miraculous atmospheres where the supernatural presence of the Lord is in our midst. How many of you here today have ever sensed the presence of God? And the Gospels are filled with occasions where the Bible says that the presence of the Lord was there. Miraculous atmospheres. I think about miraculous attitudes, like supernatural joy and peace. There is a peace, said the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, that surpasses all human understanding. It is a miraculous peace. Those are miraculous attitudes. Thirdly, there are miraculous appropriations, where God provides some miraculous act or intervention into our lives to bring provision, healing, or deliverance. Today we're looking at a story in the scriptures where God brings a miracle. The Lord Jesus brings a miracle of the breaking of spiritual darkness and the breaking of the devil's power. Have you ever known somebody who was under the devil's deception? In the devil's bondage? Certainly. We know that the devil is real. The Bible teaches us that Satan is our spiritual adversary who is roaming about, roaring like a lion, and seeking whom he may devour. There is a real devil out there, and to combat the power of the devil, we need more than religion, and we need more than religious recipes. We need the real presence and power of God. Thank God this story is the story of a direct encounter between the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the devil that had a little lady bound in her prison for 18 long years. This miracle is a picture of loads being lifted. She was, the Bible says, bent over and could not straighten up at all. And this was not merely a physical situation. This was a spiritual situation. The devil had her bound. But thank God the scripture teaches us that Jesus is the one who lifts our heads and puts his glory upon us. Would you say amen? He is our glory and the lifter of our heads. So today as we examine this miracle, we recognize that the application that comes from this miracle is very widespread. How many of you know the Lord Jesus is able to set you free from any and every dark demonic bondage? Would you say amen? How many of you believe today that the Lord is able to lift from you heavy loads that keep you weighed down with fear and worry and give you his supernatural peace and joy? Would you say amen? How many of you believe today that our God is able in a moment of time to take care of what the enemy has been working on for many, many years? Would you say amen? So the good news from this story today, ultimately, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In fact, that's why we study the miracles in the Gospels, because we know that our God is alive and well today. And the miracle worker who entered the house of God on that Sabbath day so many years ago is the same Lord who is here in this house today. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive and well. And so we examine this story today in four chapters. We begin with the negative, and then we're going to move toward the positive. Now, unfortunately, the last chapter in this story, at least on my outline, is a negative chapter as well. But even at the end of that negative chapter, how many of you know the Lord is able to bring us up and out into rejoicing and praise? Amen. So we begin the story by looking at a crippling condition on a Sabbath day in the house of the Lord some 2,000 years ago. We don't know where this took place. The scripture merely says in the Gospel of Luke, and by the way, Luke was a meticulous historian. We know that from the Gospel of Luke and from the book of Acts. Luke was a meticulous historian, and yet he does not record for us the location of this miracle. Perhaps by intention, or perhaps because he was unable to discover where the miracle took place. But it was in one of the synagogues that this miracle occurred. And a woman walked in with a crippling condition. We note that she was captive. Verse 11 says, a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. Everybody say, crippled by a spirit. Now, the first thing that I would think of would not even be physical illness. When I think of that term, crippled by a spirit, I think about the crippling power of the enemy to bring all kinds of destruction and devastation and harm into the lives of God's people. Crippled by a spirit. She was a captive to the power of some evil spirit. An evil spirit was at work here and kept her bound. Jesus would later say in this miracle that in this story that this was a work of Satan himself. Satan has kept her bound. In the pages of scripture, we see demonic spirits at work, but ultimately the author of that darkness is Satan himself. Satan had kept this woman bound. It was a satanic stronghold. I know that you're aware that many even today are captive and bound by some work of Satan. We merely need to watch the news or look around us in the world in which we live today to understand that the devil is alive and well, that he is working, and that many of his tactics have kept people imprisoned and bound and shackled and chained for much of their lives. People who seem to be unable to get free from the conditions that hold them and keep them from experiencing the liberty that God wants them to enjoy, and that keep them from being able to straighten up and praise God and serve God and live for God. Captivating forces from the enemy that harm and hound and haunt and hinder people. Not only the people of this world, but sometimes the people of God who are under the attack of the enemy. And the enemy seems to be moving in on them and restricting them from being the people of God that they are called to be. This woman was captive and she was crippled. Verse 11 says she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Again, this is a spiritual condition, but the physical picture of it certainly speaks loudly and clearly as she is bent down under the oppressive weight of the devil, captive and crippled, and she was chronic. The scripture says she had been like that for 18 years. Everybody say 18 years. That is a critical point in this story because sometimes the enemy would like to deceive us into thinking that we have been the way we have been for so long that it's all cemented into place and we can never experience freedom. But I want you to know with Jesus Christ, nothing and nobody is ever too late. While there is breath, there is hope. And Jesus is able. Listen, Pastor Peter prayed for our loved ones and our family members who are away from God. And some of you perhaps have been praying for so long for family members or friends to come back to the Lord. You've nearly given up hope that it will ever happen. But I want you to understand today that in a moment of time, God can break the power of the enemy and people can come into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Everybody say it's never too late. It's never too late. 18 long years, this woman had been crippled and bound. She was chronic. But perhaps one of the sweetest parts of this story to me It's the fourth note about her crippling condition. She was coming to church. She was in all this world of hurt, but she was coming to church anyway. Now, I don't know exactly why she was coming to church, but she was coming. Verse 10 says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there. Why was she there? Was she there because of family or culture? Was she there out of habit and routine? Was she there because she was perhaps hoping every week that the power of God would be in the house of God? How many of you believe the power of God ought to be in the house of God? She's coming week after week, perhaps. At least she's here this Sunday, or this Sabbath day it is, as she's there in the house of God. But the reality is, this church service that the woman attended that day was unlike any other church service she had ever attended before. Listen, a Christless church service was insufficient, but thank God, on this particular Sabbath day, in walked the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you expected this morning when you came to church that Jesus would be here? Say amen. Amen. But for this woman that day, she had been coming perhaps who knows how long. She was there in the synagogue this day, but today was a different day. As Jesus walks into the synagogue, a caring Christ. That's the second chapter this morning, as we find that Jesus was there and he was sermonizing in the synagogue that day. A few months ago, we preached a sermon here about the importance of being in the house of the Lord with the people of God. Do you remember that sermon? Being faithful to gather with the people of God. And we talked about the ministry of Jesus, and we noted that Jesus was a regular attender of the synagogue services on the Sabbath day, and that on many Sabbath days during his 3.5 year ministry, he actually had preaching, teaching responsibilities in a variety of synagogues. In this synagogue that day, there was Jesus. Verse 10 says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was there teaching in one of the synagogues. Now, I have to note to you this morning that the atmosphere was already different that day because Jesus was teaching. And the Gospels tell us that when Jesus was teaching, the atmosphere was always raised to a brand new level. Because Jesus, they noted, preached and taught not as the other teachers of the law or the preachers of his day, but Jesus, the Bible says, taught as one who had authority. So even as he ministered, the words he preached and the words he taught were filled with the power of God. That has to be the desire of every preacher and teacher of the Word of God who really wants the work of God to be accomplished. We desire that the Word of God comes forth in the power of the Holy Spirit so that it's more than just the mere words of men. It is the living, enduring Word of God that is being communicated. And listen, when Jesus is there as the Son of God preaching and teaching, no doubt, Jesus was even better than Martha Tennyson. How many of you were here last Sunday? Wasn't the Word of God excellent last Sunday? And yet Jesus is there that day, and he is ministering powerfully. He was sermonizing in the synagogue, and the scriptures remind us of the power with which he taught. And as he's teaching, Jesus saw the woman, he saw her, and he summoned her. Verse 12 says, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward. Called her forward. She became the center of attention in that church service, but that's okay. God was going to do a mighty work, and Jesus called her to come out of her seat, wherever she was sitting, and move to the front. and come up to where he was teaching. Jesus could not leave this hurting woman sitting in the pew. He said, come on up here. He called her forward, and Jesus spoke to her. And Jesus spoke these words, verse number 12, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Now, I like the King James Version better in this story. Woman, thou art loosed. How many of you know that has a little more punch to it, doesn't it? Woman, thou art loosed. And Jesus made a declaration. We notice that Jesus did not wrestle around with some demonic spirit. How many of you know that one word from Jesus is powerful enough to break every stronghold of the enemy? Jesus did not wrestle around. Jesus did not argue back and forth with a demonic spirit. Jesus simply pronounced her free and said, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And then he provides a demonstration. He brings a word, and then he brings a touch. This is the Lord Jesus in action. He speaks a word, and then he lays his hand upon her. Notice number 3, this comprehensive cure that took place as Jesus deals with this woman. He put his hands on her, verse 13, and then Jesus poured his healing into her. The scripture says, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Everybody say hallelujah. You know, it doesn't take Jesus long here. Immediately she straightened up and praised God. This was a dramatic power encounter that demonstrates to us that the word of Jesus and the touch of Jesus is enough to send the devil reeling and to break the power of the enemy upon her life. And it's almost as if, I love this, because the woman has been noticeably bent over. She's been like this for 18 years. And in a moment of time, as Jesus speaks and touches her, she straightens up. And notice her first inclination when she straightens up is to do what? Is to praise God. Wouldn't you? You better believe it. She may not have even known really who Jesus was. She might have come to synagogue that day and somebody said, oh, we got a guest preacher. And she said, oh, no. She may not have even been very familiar with Jesus, but as Jesus moves into action, this woman's response upon being healed and delivered is to straighten up and praise God. Now, hear me this morning. It ought to be the privilege of every child of God to be able to straighten up and praise God. Even the Old Testament Israelites who were under the bondage of the Egyptians should have been free. That's why Moses went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may go out into the desert and hold a festival of worship to me. When God delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, he delivered them so that they might go out and have a praise party, worshiping the Lord together. And Jesus healed this woman, and she straightened up and praised God. Then a strange thing happened. How many of you know strange things do happen sometimes in church services? Okay. Have you ever seen something strange happen in a church service? Yeah. Have you ever seen me do something strange in a church service? Don't say amen. Have you ever thought it strange that Pastor Bob was even in a church service? Yeah. And how many of you know just because you're in a church service doesn't mean everybody's heart is right? Are you here? And how many of you know that just because you're in a church service doesn't even mean that the heart of some of the leadership is right? That's the case in this story. The leadership, sometimes, you know, I heard somebody say one time, I've told you this, well, the spiritual level of the people can never rise above the spiritual level of the pastor. That is just an absolutely ridiculous statement to make. How many of you know your relationship with God is your own, and you can be as strong in the Lord and as close to the Lord as you want to be? Say amen. You're not limited by me or any other spiritual leader. You can have your own relationship with the Lord. And sometimes, you know, we think, well, you know, if leadership is in trouble, then everybody's in trouble. Listen, sometimes even leadership in the body of Christ might be in trouble, but the people of God can experience the victory of God if they will keep their eyes on Jesus. And this story is a troubling story, because even the leader of the church that day did not have the right heart. And a cruel controversy arose. The leader recited a ridiculous religious rule. Verse 14. Indignant. Everybody say indignant. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Well, we have no record that they were even having church on the other days. How many of you know if the only day they're having church is the one day you can't experience the help of God, you got the wrong church? And this synagogue ruler said, "There are 6 days to work. Come and be healed on one of those days." Can I say to you, first of all, this morning, that it was not work for Jesus to heal this woman? How many of you know if to heal, all you had to do was this? You would not consider that a full day's work, would you say amen? And so this work of healing that took place was a work of Jesus, yes, but it violated no spiritual rules. The people of Jesus' day, because of a variety of traditions about working on the Sabbath that were not even biblical, but were traditional. How many of you know sometimes people can fall into legalism and enforce rules that are not even biblical in nature? Many of you grew up with religious rules that had no foundation in Scripture. And this synagogue ruler, because he's just as bound as the woman, he's bound by all this ridiculous religious tradition that's not even biblical. And so he recites this rule. Well, do you think he wanted the woman to give back her healing? Give it back and come back on Tuesday. Isn't that ridiculous? But the Lord rebuked that rotten ruler. Verse 15, the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the staff and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" Jesus speaks not only spiritual truth here, but Jesus speaks plain logic into the situation. Here, this religious ruler of the synagogue is begrudging the fact. I think that probably this was a case which was similar to most cases when it comes to the rejection and the resistance of the leadership, the religious leadership of Jesus' day toward his ministry. I think it all boiled down to spiritual jealousy. I do. The religious ruler in that synagogue, he had no power to set that woman free. If he did have any power to do it, he certainly did not have the desire to do it, because here she was in his church service, still bound by the power of the devil. I believe they resisted Jesus, the religious leadership of his day, because of plain ministry jealousy. They were jealous. The crowds were attracted to Jesus. People wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to touch Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to be healed by Jesus. They wanted the bread that Jesus produced. People were enamored with Jesus because he was such a powerful, listen, he was a powerful, not religious figure. He was a powerful spiritual being. He, Jesus, in the flesh, was the Son of the living God. And here he is moving, and everybody's attracted to that. So next Sunday morning, if Jesus decides to come in the flesh and be preaching out at Memorial Park, let me tell you, we're all going out to Memorial Park. Are you here this morning? Amen. Yeah. We're not going to say, well, let Jesus preach out there. We got to still have our church service. No, how many of you know we want Jesus to have church? Thank God Jesus is not limited to one particular sanctuary on a Sunday morning. Thank God Jesus is with us, and he's with many congregations who are preaching the word of God and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Could you say a better amen? And here is Jesus that day. They are resisting him, but Jesus rebukes that. And notice Jesus declared this woman's spiritual status. He calls her a daughter of Abraham. A daughter of Abraham. Now, when Jesus says that, he's referring to her, obviously, her biological lineage. She's a Jewish woman. But I believe Jesus is also referring to the spiritual covenant to which she belongs. Because the scriptures teach us, the Apostle Paul especially teaches us, that to be a real child of Abraham requires something in the heart. It requires a spiritual reality. A Jew is not just a Jew outwardly, said the Apostle Paul to the Romans, but a Jew is a Jew who is one inwardly, who is a child of God, who is looking to God. And this woman, Jesus said, she's a daughter of Abraham. Secondly, Jesus described the satanic stronghold that was holding her. Jesus says, this is a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has kept bound. Satan has kept her bound. And Jesus divulged his sympathy for her suffering. Notice the words of Jesus. Satan has kept her bound for 18 what? Long years. 18 long years. The last time I read, I learned that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Remember that? Here is Jesus. He's on earth for 33 years doing the work of ministry. But even Jesus understood that for this precious lady, this had been a long, drawn out, difficult, painful bondage. And Jesus calls it 18 long years. Look up at me, everybody. Some of you here today have been dealing with something for a long time that has been a struggle to you, a heartache to you, a bondage to you, a thorn in your flesh perhaps, a struggle that has brought you misery. Some of you have dealt with that for a long time. Can I say to you this morning that the Lord Jesus knows exactly how long you've been dealing with that. He knows exactly what you have experienced as you have struggled through that struggle. He loves you in the midst of that, and his desire is for you to be set free. And he's with you. Listen, if you're a child of God, he's with you. I said he's with you. If you're here today, you've been through all kinds of trouble. But you're trusting in the Lord, as we sang this morning. Great songs this morning, Heidi. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. If you're here and you're a child of God, you're trusting in the Lord, Jesus is with you. I'm telling you, he's with you. You may experience a lot of difficult days, but the Lord Jesus is with you. He'll be with you always. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you to the very end of the age. He will not walk out on you when the going gets tough. He will be there with you to strengthen you, and ultimately, he wants you to experience his deliverance and the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, Healer, Deliverer, and Lord. And so the Lord said, I know that this woman has been through a lot, and that's why I have come to set her free today. And when Jesus said this, all his opponents were, look at that, humiliated, as well they should be. And the liberated lady rejoiced. She straightened up and she praised God. When I was a kid years ago, we had some very long altar services on Sunday nights. And we would stick around, we'd pray, and we had a great altar time this past Sunday night. We had a lot of people at the altar Sunday night worshiping and praising the Lord, experiencing the joy of the Lord and the fresh touch of God. When I was a kid, we would linger around, and sometimes people would linger longer than others. Sometimes people would linger and linger and linger, praying and praising the Lord. I'll never forget one Sunday night as we were lingering. My twin brother Joel, he was at the altar seeking the Lord, and he just sought the Lord and sought the Lord and sought the Lord. And they were ready to go. Everybody's ready to go. But Joel's still at the altar seeking the Lord. Finally, after waiting to the point of embarrassment, you know, like in one of the Old Testament stories, we went over to see if Joel was all right. And he was sound asleep in the presence of the Lord. Sound asleep. How many of you know, if you fall asleep at the altar, you must have received a gift of the peace that passes understanding. We don't know how long this woman praised God in the sanctuary that day, but listen, after 18 long years of being bound and crippled over by the power of a satanic spirit, I imagine her liberation that day was an occasion of great joy and gladness, and I imagine her praise was mighty. You know, Jesus, on one occasion, when a woman came in to praise him and to worship him and to pour oil upon him, perfume upon him, Jesus said, well, somebody who's experienced a lot of the grace of God worships a lot. And somebody who doesn't think they've gotten that much sometimes maybe is not as passionate of a worshiper. How many of you know, when you realize just what the Lord has done for you, it's an occasion for extended praise and worship. And the woman rejoiced. She straightened up and praised God. And the logical lady rejoiced. Because I don't know whether they fired the synagogue ruler that day. That might have been appropriate. Who knows? But the scripture says, when Jesus said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And everybody said, this has been a great day in the house of the Lord. Jesus has been here, and Jesus has brought liberty. That's a good day, isn't it? We close this morning with these declarations in the box at the bottom of the outline. One, the Lord sees every person who has come to church today. Just as Jesus saw that woman sitting out in the congregation, he sees you right where you are. You may come to church and you may try to hide from other people. You can't hide from Jesus. The reality is, he knows where we are, and he knows exactly what we're facing. He knows our challenges. He knows our struggles. He knows things that nobody else knows about you. And listen, Jesus is here to touch our lives today. Number two, you can be bent over on the inside when you're straightened up on the outside. The truth is, many come and they look okay on the outside, but on the inside, they are hurting and heartbroken and weary and sad. But how many of you know that Jesus is the one who can operate on the inside just as much as he can operate on the outside? He can heal a broken spirit. Are you here? He can heal a broken spirit. Yes, he can. He can heal a broken heart. Huh? He can take your insides and stir them all up and make a brand new you on the inside. Jesus can do that. Amen. Nothing's too hard for him. He can release you today from the bondages of unforgiveness and bitterness that may be plaguing the inside of you like a cancer. Huh? He's able to break that. You may be standing straight on the outside, but on the inside, you can barely move. You're imprisoned by some work of the enemy, by fear or worry or unforgiveness or bitterness or anger. But the Lord can take care of that in a moment if we will yield ourselves to his lordship. And he can set us free. And I guarantee, listen, I guarantee you, if you'll get free from those inside things that are corrupting you and hindering you and harming you, you'll straighten up and you'll praise God at a brand new level. And you might even begin to enjoy the presence of the Lord as you experience his freedom. Three, if you're God's child, you should be free to straighten up and praise God. The devil should have no authority in your life whatsoever. If you give him authority, then you are surrendering the precious life that God has given his only begotten son, Jesus, to bring into liberty and freedom. Don't surrender your life to the lordship of the devil in any area. And for goodness sake, don't give the devil a foothold in your life. If you give him a foothold, he'll kick the door in and you'll have an unwanted visitor for who knows how long. Some of you 18 years ago gave the devil a foothold and you've been struggling ever since. It's time to get the devil and his power out of our lives and out of the sphere of our influence so that we might experience the goodness of God in the fullest extent possible and enjoy what Jesus has come to do for us. If you're God's child, you should be free to straighten up and praise God. And four, Jesus is the great liberator and the great lifter. So let's look to him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together, please, everybody.